I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Monique Anair. She's co-chair of the Media Arts and Film Department at Santa Fe Community College, and Jean Medeiros, who's head of post-production at SFCC. And we're here to talk about a wonderful event. It's the Media Arts Film Spring Event. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi.
So you do what at first sounded to me a little bit not as exciting as all that, namely student work, which you're showing on May 22nd. But there's so much, it's this coming Sunday, there's so much great work coming up. There's happening at the community college film program.
Yeah, we have over 350 students right now, and we have cinematography classes, editing classes, animation classes, all sorts of production from documentary to narrative to experimental audio installation. And so this is almost like a best of what we do at the school every semester. Is the students in their classes jury 10 minutes of work from each of their classes, and then they submit that to represent their class, and there's a jury of students, staff, and faculty that get together and kind of compile the show. And so there's a huge, just a variety of work to begin with, so it's a really stimulating show, and we really have kind of focused on, and Jean can talk to this too, because, you know, when we first started, people were submitting 90-minute pieces of student work, and I know when you're a student, you fall in love with your work, and you think it's like, oh, this is going to be so great, and everyone's right. going to love it, and everyone's falling asleep. So we really have gone to the short format, and we really have actually focused on 3-minute format.
Well, part of it was to get them to realize that there are other distribution models than making the feature-length film, which you would hope and pray would be picked up and distributed by someone else. 3 minutes to 3.5 minutes is the recommended maximum length for things on the web. And since most young people today...
Oh, because everyone's putting things on YouTube?
Yeah, they can put it on YouTube, they can put it on their own websites. Most young people today get their media off the web. They don't look at television sets at home with the parents anymore. They're on the computer. That's where they see their films. That's where they see their programs. That's where they, whatever passes for news in youth culture, the way they spread news around, it's all done through the computer nowadays. So that length, it's easy to upload. It meets the requirements for most sites. It doesn't take a lot of gigabytes to transfer from one device or one to the other. You can send it out and get a really large audience, but only if it's short. And, you know, they have to make it short, and they have to have a story arc in 3 minutes. And it's kind of like the craft of, you should write a lot of short stories before you attempt the novel, because the learning of writing is getting everything you need to say done in the short story. It's the same idea here. The short film is how you learn how to tell your story without extraneous stuff.
Now, it's interesting because on the one hand, it probably is a really good idea for students to make 3-minute films and not 90-minute films for the reasons that you, Monique, were alluding to a moment ago. At the same time, are we contributing to a kind of attention deficit disorder where nobody can focus on anything that's more than 3 minutes long?
I think that already happened. I think it's too late. But no, I think that, you know, what we're really looking at too is most of the students have the dream to do a longer film. And I think that what we're really looking for is quality and engagement. And from the 3-minute format, you can really start to see where your strengths are and how the story is building. And we also, as the process goes on, as they get to the capstone level, there's 5 to 7-minute films. If they get into the Emerging Filmmakers Program, which is kind of our final step, they're doing 20-minute narrative work. They're doing 40-minute documentary work. So they're starting to get into those longer formats. And the work is engaging at that point because they know that they have to keep the audience engaged. And I think that's really what we're focusing on is not to create those 90-minute films that everyone falls asleep at.
Right.
There's a place for those, for sure.
That everyone falls asleep.
Well, I mean, we all had to watch those Andy Warhol films, right?
Well, I wasn't forced to. I elected to.
In film school, I had to.
Yeah. Okay.
And those went on forever.
Aguirre, the Wrath of God.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know? Yes. I saw that movie after it came highly recommended. And yes, I fell asleep several times.
Falling asleep is the greatest blessing that can happen during that film.
Yes, absolutely.
But anyway, we're talking about the Santa Fe Community College film program. Give us some examples of what students are doing with the 3-minute format.
Well, let's see. This past semester, we had one student do what was basically a PSA commercial for adopting a dog from the animal shelter. We had another student do a music video set to an original composition. We had another student do a documentary about a Odissi dance, a form of Indian dance. We had a student do a beautiful black and white piece set up at the Chambra Tumberg Railroad up in Chama. And she shot this wonderful black and white piece about a musician following his dream. He was born to be a railroad engineer. That's what his parents had done, but he became a musician instead. And it was all done in black and white, and the whole story was told through music. So we've had one rather brilliant student who writes really wonderful story arcs do a little horror piece that was funny and didn't involve zombies, In 3 minutes. Tight story arc, a complete story, no zombies, and it came in second. It almost won Best of Show.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, what's wrong with student zombie movies?
Oh, nothing at all. No, nothing.
No, I'm just asking.
No, it's rather, I think one of the things I like best is this mix that I get of students that could be anywhere from, I have a 14-year-old student in one of my editing classes now, and I have a 79-year-old student that keeps coming back and taking classes. And I think it's wonderful that when you get that breadth of ages, I have actually had a 70-year-old student do a zombie film, and a 15-year-old do a zombie film, and the 70-year-old made the better film, which was kind of a comeuppance for the 15-year-old. So it was kind of...
What was better about it?
Well, it was witty. It was very very entertaining. There was quite a bit of eating of body parts involved, but... of course, the 70-year-old perspective was much more witty about, it was kind of like a take on, we all go back dust to dust, ashes to ashes, so it was kind of a funny thing of like, how you can continue going in this marriage after they had both died. So it was really good. And the 15-year-old had, you know, your basic, created in a lab, went out and started eating people at random movie. So
right,
he saw the
So one was more really about relationships and mortality, and the other was just simply eating limbs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we're talking about the upcoming spring event, which is at Warehouse 21 this coming Sunday. It's from 10 in the morning until 10 at night?
Yes. It's a big day. Because we have so much work submitted, we don't expect people to sit through 200 minutes of a show of three-minute pieces. So what we do is we actually divide up the showcase. So we'll have at 10 a.m. we'll have a screening for an hour and a half. We'll have an hour and a half at 2 o'clock.
The same program.
A different program.
Okay.
So because there's so much work. And then in the evening we have like a VIP. So it's all the juried winners. It's all the honorable mentions. And it's kind of the best of show. So we'll do that at night. And then during the day, we have New Mexico filmmakers that come in. We also have Donna Wells, who is one of our emerging filmmakers from the program, is doing a documentary on the plight of the wild horse in New Mexico. And she'll be screening her film at noon and at 6 p.m. And then who do we have at 4?
Oh, Denise Lynch. She's a native New Mexican. Her family just recently repurchased the Pinka Derby, and she has beautiful films about what it is to be a New Mexican, her and her horses and her love of the land, and she'll be presenting at 4.
And then we have downstairs at Warehouse 21, because this is where this is all happening. We have the upstairs theater where these shows are going on. And then downstairs, Jason Goodyear and his Reason and Live audio classes will be doing an installation, and that's from 4 to 7, and that'll be going on. And in the morning, there's some stuff with the film club, and then we have some dolly rides outside, and some vendors are setting up tables, and I think...
Dolly rides.
Get on the dolly, go for a ride.
Whatever it takes. It's a film industry thing.
Exactly.
It's more like a giant film festival carnival mix.
Right.
Then at 5 o'clock, we have our VIP champagne reception, which we will... it's by invitation only, and it's at the J. Etkin Gallery, which is right across the parking lot from Warehouse 21, and he's hosting that for us there, and it's to raise money through NMFR for the film program.
NMFR.
New Mexico Film Resource, our brand spanking new nonprofit to raise money in support of the SFCC film program and the Emerging Filmmakers program.
It's interesting to me that you have this combination of very young people and mature students of really all ages. And before we went on the program, you were telling me how they mentor each other. You got young people doing technical.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful. The 15-year-old will reach over and help the 60-year-old with the keyboard commands, or show them like what button to push on the screen to make something work, or sometimes just show them that cable's loose. And then the older student usually will look at the younger student's work and suggest a storytelling element or an aesthetic piece of advice, or offer something from their own experience. It's that blend that I think makes the community college so special.
Yeah, and it's really different from teaching an undergraduate art school program where everybody's sort of 18 to 23 and don't, I mean, it's a multiple kinds of mentorship that are going on here.
Yeah, we the faculty is very much involved. We help the students out any way we can with their projects. We're usually, oh Lord, we're usually on call at all hours to answer technical questions. Monique's cinematography and me on editing. And I think part of the reason that the blend works so well is I think when you have a, when young people are together, there's all that, you know, preening and, you know, trying to attract the, you know, the dating and the opposite sex thing. But when you have this nice melange group of people, there's a lot of that tension is gone. Everyone's much freer to be themselves, which
right.
I think is wonderful.
The intergenerational community, which is something we have kind of missed in a lot of our, certainly in our schooling and even in our families.
I think it's incredible to be at a screening, for instance, of a piece of student work. Someone's, it could even not be something that's for a class that they just want to get feedback on. And you have peers that are, you know, in their teens, that you have peers in their 30s, peers in their 50s. You know, you have a whole range of people. And to get that kind of wealth of feedback on your work really propels you forward, I think. And you know, there's, I was just thinking, you were thinking about the 79. I was thinking of Rod. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rod is an older gentleman who's been doing films on active seniors. And, you know, one of the students who's like in his early 20s, he's like, you know, Rod's really kind of cool. He's doing this extreme sports stuff. He's up at the ski basin. He's kayaking. And I said, he's like, this is incredible. I can't believe he's doing these extreme sports stuff. He's like, I don't think I would want to do that. And, but I think it sets this kind of expectation too, the students thinking about, you know, and also seeing people as they grow older being active and integrated in the community and vital to the community. And it's so important to have that mix. And it's just been, I mean, I have to say the community college has been the best place I've ever taught. And it's just, and it's become the, it's just the diversity for me.
Yeah, I'd have to second that. I definitely think I found my calling in teaching and teaching at a community college. I don't think I would be as happy in a you know, typical school, but teaching all these different people from different places, the wealth of the diversity really makes it much more enjoyable. And it's funny because it's part of the workplace. When I graduated from college and went out into the real world, I wasn't used to working with intergenerational anything. My peers were all the same age, and then of course there were the professors. So I think it's wonderful training also, because you can go out there and you'll work on a set where people are of different ages. And even for the older students, to have a director who's a third their age, half their age, it's an incredible thing.
So we have talked on this show many times about New Mexico's burgeoning film industry, which is no longer really burgeoning, which is sort of under assault in some ways. But what are your students' career prospects when they leave the Santa Fe Community College, having done all this work and been in all this excitement and aesthetics and the teaching of film and all of that? Then they finish. What next?
Well, we have an internship program, which is really vital to our program. A lot of students will kind of filter into that internship program. And, you know, we have our great success stories where we have a young woman who came into the program, kind of took the film crew class as a whim. You know, she kind of says, oh, I'll try it out. Have an interest. And, you know, she was just stellar in that class. And it was one of those things where we had this job come in from the First Judicial Court of New Mexico. And it was through our paralegal department. And they wanted to take the forms that they had. They were turning them into Spanish language. And they taught classes to Spanish language speakers about family law. Because a lot of people who come here who don't speak English, suddenly having to navigate the court systems is just a massive undertaking.
Right.
And so this young woman, I said, you know what? I know you're bilingual, and this is the project. And she just went, that is the project for me. And, you know, her family has immigrated here from Mexico. And she, that kind of the idea of helping that bilingual community was so important to her. Now, this project was not a small project. It ended up, I think they came to us saying, oh, it's going to be this small little thing. You'll have some PowerPoint, and you'll do a little of this video, and it'll, you know, maybe like 40 minutes long. I think it ended up being an hour and a half. Jean worked on it.
Yes.
It was a big project.
Yes, in Spanish.
In Spanish.
So all the key people had to be bilingual. I had
You are. You're
yes,
Cuban American.
Right, so I had to edit it and put Spanish language narration. We had a wonderful woman, Amparo, who came and read off all the narration that tied all the visuals
together.
And she's
together, a lawyer, which was great.
Right, in Spanish. So that was fantastic. So it was really an interesting crew because all the above-the-line people had to be bilingual.
And I have to tell the story. So here's Angelica. She's, you know, young woman, brand new to this. She's taken on this massive project. And we have this production date at the First Judicial Court. So, again, you're getting through the detectors and you're going in there with all this equipment. You've got all these people running around. And it's during a working day at the court. And I guess the judge hadn't been informed that we were going to be there. So they're like, you guys need to leave. You need to be out of here. And Helica goes up to him, starts speaking in Spanish. And he just steps back and he's like, whoa, this is great. I love what you're doing. You guys come on into my courtroom. I'll say whatever you need me to say.
Wow.
And it was just the beginning of this beautiful relationship that she was able to get everything she needed. And then a few months later, after this kind of arduous editing process with all this Spanish language, and because the lawyers that were writing this wrote it all in English.
Right.
And they really did.
And legalese.
And legalese.
Oh, God, yes.
That's and it, marginally English.
And so, you know, we had this screening over at the college, and the judge came. All of these lawyers from this particular organization came. These community members came. And they stood up and said, Angelica, you did this amazing thing. You've done this wonderful job. They gave her a certificate for her work. And I was like in tears because this was just like one of those projects
where we had no idea. So were the lawyers. Go figure. There was at least three lawyers crying. Who could have thunk it?
So it was, you know.
And I wish they'd made the whole thing in English, too. It sounds like a great
It is.
And, yeah, and
hopefully they'll ask us to do that because it would, I mean, I wouldn't have any idea.
Maybe
how to
Spanish
file for
with
divorce.
English subtitles.
There we go. For the future. So, you know, what I'm getting at, too, is that, you know, she took this under her belt. She took it on. She made it happen. Great success. And then, you know, enters into the internship program and starts interning down at Univision in Albuquerque.
Univision.
And within weeks, they're asking her, do you want to be a broadcaster? Would you like to stand in front of the camera? And then she comes to me and she goes, do I want to do that? I said, well, what do you really want to do? She's like, I want to direct. I want to produce. I said, well, get an editing job, you know? And so now she's editing for them, and it's just been fantastic. So she's got a job, full-time job. She's still in school. She's finishing up. Going to go to UNM. I'm so happy.
It makes you so proud. How can you not want to be a teacher?
Unfortunately, it's time to wrap up now, but we're talking about the Santa Fe Community College Media Arts Spring Film Event. It's this Sunday, the 22nd of May, from 10 in the morning until 10 at night at Warehouse 21. You can go to sfcc.edu for more information. And once again, thank you so much, Monique Anair and Jean Medeiros, for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll see you Sunday.
All right.
See you there.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.